Hallelujah. How many people were here last week for the conference? It was amazing, wasn't it? It was so great. In fact, I share what Abina said earlier on, you know. So many things. Remember when we had the furnace last Wednesday, Pastor Paul said we should just go around and share our experience, what happened. Everybody went around. Everybody was really impacted in a different way. But what Abina said was also touched me, you know. Like Prophet Kathy said, she went to the Philippines, you know, hoping she was going to change people. But God said, you know, I'm taking you there to change you. And so many times when we ask to do things for God, we think we're doing somebody a favor. For all you know, we are doing it for ourselves. You know, how do you think David became king? How do you think David, I know he was anointed to be a king, and I know he was prophesied to be a king, but how do you think he became king? You see, in 1 Samuel, so should we go there, Dixon? 1 Samuel chapter 17, I just want to show you something quickly. 1 Samuel chapter 17, from verse 17 onwards. 1 Samuel, okay. It says, now Jesse said to his son David, take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread to your brothers and hurry to their camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers are and bring back some assurance from them. They are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah, fighting against the Philistines. Early in the morning, David left the flock in the care of a shepherd. See, he delegated his duty to somebody, loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines, facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines and asked his brothers how they were. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. Whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled from him in great fear. Now the Israelites had been saying, do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his family from taxes in Israel. Now, when David heard it, he was really surprised. And so he said again, David asked the men standing near him, what will be done for the man who kills these Philistines and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? They repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, this is what will be done for the man who kills him. When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? And I said, why have you come down here and with whom? So as far as Eliab was concerned, that's David's older brother, he wasn't expecting him to leave the little sheep or the sheep they had and come there, because it was their source of livelihood. And it was important that they get somebody to look after it. So Eliab was probably thinking he could actually look after the sheep and ask somebody instead to bring the supplies. But you see, in life, you need to come to a point where you need to prioritize. You need to differentiate between what's important and what's necessary. You see, David thought, well, it's important that I look after the sheep, but it's necessary that I go and deliver the supply. I bet you at that point, he didn't even know that his destiny was beginning to unfold. Now, what started off as an errand, just go and take bread to your brothers, it started off an errand. It started to be when his destiny was unfolding. So you never know. Sometimes opportunities will present themselves in ways that you don't even expect. Completely. I bet you when he left, he didn't even know that, oh God, my destiny is beginning to unfold. By just going, I'm thinking I'm doing my brothers a favor. No, but I'm doing this for myself. I'm doing this for myself. I'm not doing anybody a favor. And I'll guarantee if he hadn't taken that steps, things may be different. And the point I want to make is there are times is you get prophecies and all that, but you have your part to play in every prophecy that you get. You have your part to play. You know, just because they've said it, and just because he was anointed, and just because he was prophesied to that he was going to become a king, doesn't necessarily mean that would happen. You have your part to play. You know, I have a friend who thinks she's going to live very long because somebody told her she was going to live very long. She smokes and smokes. I said, you can't be smoking. I said, no, no, no. I was promised I'm going to live long, so it doesn't care what I do. But you have a part to play. You have definitely have a part to play in this. You know, and remember, as this conference was going on, I saw how Prophet Kathy brought prophetic words to people, and I saw how lives were changed, how lives were impacted and all that. I personally didn't get a word, but that didn't stop me from tapping into that prophetic atmosphere. You know, I remember Prophet Kathy gave a word to this couple during the lunch, for those of you who were at the lunch, and I thought, no, I identify with this. And so I just held on to that word. And I'm going to hold on to that word like a leech until I see every bit of it come to pass. I remember I was just speaking to a sister, and the sister said to me, Godfrey, I was standing next to this guy that Prophet Kathy gave a word to. And I identified with the word, and I took hold of the word. Now, can you believe that the next day, which was a Sunday, Prophet Kathy called this lady out, and she gave her that same word. And in her head, she's saying, don't worry, Prophet, I've already taken hold of that word. You know, hallelujah. So this morning, I just want to speak to two people here, those who received the word and those who didn't receive a word. You know? Now, like I said before, if you receive the word, you still have your part to play. How many of you remember that story in Ezekiel? Can we go to Ezekiel chapter 37, please? Just want to show you something. Ezekiel chapter 37 from verse 1. It says, the hand of the Lord was on me. This is Ezekiel speaking. And he brought me out of the spirit, out by the spirit of the Lord, and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. Okay, next verse, please. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley. Bones that were very, very dry. He asked me, son of man, can these bones live? I said, sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. Now this is Ezekiel speaking. Now he's been placed in the middle of a valley. Now, a valley is a lowland between two hills or two mountains. So when you're in a valley, your sight is a bit restricted because you can't see that far. Probably all you can see is your immediate surroundings. And God made Ezekiel walk through this valley and see the bones. Now, it's one thing when you're resurrecting dead bodies or even skeletons. But when you've got bones, and not just bones, very dry bones all over the place, you look at it and you think, is there even hope for this situation? So very dry bones, and these are hundreds of thousands of bones all over the place. So you've got a skull here, you've got a leg there, they're all over the place. And God is saying to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, can these bones live? And like his answer that he gave, he said, Lord, you know, I really can't tell, because I know you can do all things, but this is beyond me. This is beyond me. And so many times, it's so hard to see the picture when all you have is the pieces. It's so hard to see the picture when all you have is the pieces. So Ezekiel is looking at this and saying, Lord, I'm not sure. And then he says to him, prophesy. And he did exactly what God said. He prophesied. Now, because of time, we can't go into details. But when you read the story, he begins to prophesy. And when he prophesies, you have flesh coming on the bones. But it's not complete. And then God says, prophesy again. He doesn't. And then sinews begin to come on the bones. He says, prophesy again. And then suddenly the wind comes and the breath comes. And suddenly the bones begin to live. And I believe God is saying to somebody here this morning that if you receive a word, you need to speak over it until you see the manifestation of the word that God has given you. Because there are times you can look at your situation and say, God, I know I had this word concerning my health, but right now I'm not feeling it. I know you gave me this word concerning my marriage, but right now I can't see how things are going. I know you gave me this word concerning my finances, but right now I can't just see a way out. And God is saying, don't stop prophesying over what I've told you unless you see it come to pass. You see, when God speaks, things come alive. When he speaks, things come alive. So I don't know how many people have received the word here. Some of you may think, oh, wow, this word is beyond me. God, can you do this? Of course he can. When he speaks, things happen. But you need to keep prophesying over every word. You need a daily declaration. I always do this every morning when I wake up. I say, God, thank you that it's my year of Jubilee. I don't have to feel it to say it because I'm only saying what God has told me to say. And then so I'm declaring things until I see it come to pass. And you don't stop until you see it come to pass. If you continue reading that scripture that I read, God encourages Ezekiel to keep prophesying and prophesying and saying things about his situation until he sees the manifestation of what he has said. Hallelujah. And now, like I said, I didn't receive a word, but that wouldn't stop me from tapping into that prophetic atmosphere. There's a story in Matthew chapter 15, if you know, in Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. I just want to share that quickly. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. It says, leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. Jesus did not answer a word. Now, this woman heard about Jesus. Immediately she heard about Jesus, she went to that place. She went believing God concerning, she went believing God for a word concerning her daughter. And when she went, she said, Jesus did not answer a word. She didn't even get one word. So you come to the conference on Thursday, you don't get any word. You come on Friday, just like me, no word. You come Saturday, no word. You come for the lunch, no word. There are times that I will come just to adjust the camera, so proper cutting, no word. Sunday, no word. And now you're thinking, and then you see God calling people and think, God, where is me? Lord, I've had to sleep in this place just so I can get no word. So Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples also came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying after us. Now call these people destiny killers. Destiny killers. Send her away. Oh, why? You didn't get a word on Thursday. Why bother go again on Friday? Just stay at home. God knows where you are. It doesn't matter. Whatever you do, he will give you. You don't have to. And then somehow they convince you and then you stay at home. But I like something about this woman in verse 24. Watch this. It's verse 24. Next verse. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. Now that's Jesus' response to this woman. He answered, I was sent. It keeps getting worse. First he doesn't say anything. And then when he speaks, he says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. It's just like they call everybody forward and then they leave you. You try to get the attention, say, no, I didn't come here for you. Now this woman didn't stop. Look what she does in the next verse. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. Help me, she said. I'm not going back the same way as I came today, God. I'm not going back the same way as I came. Help me, she said. Next verse. He replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. It's getting worse and worse and worse. Now, at this point, offense can set in. And the minute you get offense in your heart, you're even blocking your blessing. But that woman knew what she wanted. And she said, look, the Bible says the moment she heard that Jesus was there, she went in there because she knows there's something in that atmosphere that she can tap into. And she's not even a Christian. She's a Gentile. And Jesus replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Next verse. Yes, it is. That's her response. No, yes, it is, Lord, she said. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Now, I think she's getting aggressive. She's getting aggressive. The violent take it by force. She's getting aggressive. Yes, it is, Lord, she said. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed that very, very moment. And I bet you there were people there that Jesus came for that were still waiting on Jesus. And this woman just stepped into the atmosphere and took what was hers to the point that Jesus even reacted. He said, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that very moment. Can you go back one verse, 27? It says, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Now, that was her response. What's crumbs? It's the pieces of bread that fall to the ground. Pieces of bread that nobody even... It doesn't serve any purpose. People will trample over it. It serves no purpose. Pieces of bread. Now remember Ezekiel? Ezekiel couldn't put a picture together with the pieces he had. See what this woman does? She put the pieces together and she could see the complete picture. And Ezekiel couldn't. But this woman put the pieces of the crumbs, she put it together, and she could see the complete picture of her daughter getting healed. She says, "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." See, don't throw away the pieces. Ezekiel is a prophet. He's a powerful man of God, and yet he couldn't see the complete picture. This woman here is a Gentile, and she could see the complete picture with the pieces she had. Now, I'm not saying Ezekiel hasn't got faith, but what the word Jesus responds tells me that this woman has got faith. And we need to use our faith to begin to call into our lives things that are not. We need to begin to start calling things that are not. Begin to call things that are not. So listen, you may be here, you may not have heard the word. That shouldn't stop you at all. That shouldn't stop you at all. You need to take the pieces that you heard from other people. Maybe the prophet gave people word. He gave somebody a word here. He gave somebody a word there. Put the pieces together and take yours out of it. And take don't think, "Oh, it's not for me," and just trample up. No. Take yours out of it. Take yours out of it. You know, they say if you want something you've never had before, you have to do something you've never done before. You know, this is our year of Jubilee. It's the next level that God is taking us. Don't sit down and say because it's the year of Jubilee, it would happen in its own time. You need to apply some pressure to your situation. Really, you need to begin to apply. Because otherwise, you sit down, we're already in March, getting to April. The whole year would come and pass, and you'd still be the same way. Now, this woman could have decided, look, because of what God said, that's when I'll go back. And she would have remained the same. But she says, "Yes, it is, Lord. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. I'm not going to go home until I get what I came to get." You know, it amazes me how when you are determined, nothing can stop you. There was this time that, you know, Jesus got out of the boat and there was this possessed guy. And when Jesus was about to cast the demons begged him to cast them into the pigs. And he did. If even Jesus would do it for the demons, how much more you? He died for you. He paid for your life with his blood. He says, prophesy. He said to Ezekiel, "Hear the word of the Lord." Now you need to begin to say to your situation, "Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord." It's not your words. It's God's words that you're speaking about the situation. And any time that God speaks, things happen. You're just repeating what God has said. That's all. It's not your words. It's God's words. And anything that hears the voice of God must react one way or the other. It has to. It has no choice. When God speaks, things happen. You see, this speaker here is black. When God calls it blue, it has to change into blue. It has no choice. It has no choice. When God speaks, things happen. So I don't know what word God has given you or what you probably didn't even get, but you know what you want. You can say, "God, this is what I'm believing you for," and start calling things into being as though they're not. Hallelujah. I saw praying and saying, "God, what should I bring to your children this morning? This is the word that I believe he placed in my heart. This is the word that I believe he placed in my heart." It's time for us to arise and shine because this is our time. You see, this year of Jubilee, I strongly believe that it's not Pastor Paul who says it. It's God who said it through Pastor Paul. It is God's word. He said, "God, it's my year of Jubilee. I need to say it." You need to start declaring it every day if you have to until you see the manifestation of that word. Because otherwise, there's no point coming here every Sunday after Sunday, coming to conferences after conferences and still being the same. No, we all have a part to play. We all have a part to play. And I believe that is what God is calling us to do this morning. Shall we be on our feet? Now, I don't know what word you've received, but we are going to speak that word into being. We are going to speak that word into being. Because God loves you too much to leave you the same way. Son of man, can these bones live? There are so many times that you've asked yourself that question. God, can this situation change? And he's saying, "There's no situation I cannot change. There's no situation I cannot turn around. There's nothing I cannot do." He says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" And you say, "Lord, you said my health was going to be restored, but all I do is go to hospital every day. And God is saying, speak into it. Speak into it. Begin to see the picture from the crumbs. Begin to see the picture from the crumbs. Say to that situation, that saith the word of the Lord. That saith the word of the Lord. It's not your words, it's the words of the Lord that can bring that transformation, that breakthrough that you need. You see, Ezekiel was looking at the situation. Ezekiel was looking at the situation, what his eyes could see. But that woman was looking at what her faith could bring about. Take your eyes off the situation and get it on God. Because He's the one who's going to do it. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you watch over your word to perform it, God. And Father, we submit every word of God that was spoken, oh God, over your children before you today, Lord. And Lord, we call it into being this morning in Jesus' name. We call it into being this morning, oh God. We call it into being, and we say, situation, hear the word of the Lord. 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 Jesus. May every dry situation in your life today come alive. May it come alive right now. May it come alive. May every dry marriage come alive. Dry finances, we call you into being. I thank you, Father, that when you speak, things happen. Father, I lift every need in this house, oh God, into your hands. Some needs are not spoken, but Lord, you know it. There are certain things, oh God, that must come alive today, oh God. It must come alive, God. It must come alive. It's been dead for too long. It must come alive, God. It must come alive today, oh God. If dry bones, oh God, can come alive, then our situation is nothing, oh God. Father, resurrection is not something you came to do. You are the resurrection and you are the life. Anything that comes into contact with you must experience resurrection, oh God. Oh Jesus, thank you so much for this new beginning, oh God. I thank you for this new level, oh God, of this year of Jubilee, oh God. I pray that, Lord, anything that must change, oh God, to let us experience this year of Jubilee should change, oh God. Lord, may our presence here today not be in vain, oh God. Let us live today knowing we've had an encounter with you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I curse every spirit of discouragement right now in this room. I curse you and I command you to leave right now in Jesus' name. You have no part in this place. You have no part in this place. You have no part. You have no room in the lives of the children of God here. This. I command every dream that is dead to be resurrected right now in the name of Jesus. Every hope to be resurrected right now, Jesus. Every desire to be resurrected right now, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Can these bones live? With man it's impossible, but with God it is. It is. It is. It is. I thank you so much, oh God. I thank you so much, oh God, for that breakthrough you are bringing right now, oh God. I thank you for that liberty. I see you, God, bringing into the lives of people right now, Jesus. Thank you so much, God. I give you all the praise, Father. I thank you for what you set in motion, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Give you all the praise, Jesus. In your name, amen.